This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story's worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm Bob Hassan with my friend Sean Bowles. Sean, I'm wondering, are we going to do anything interesting today?
Oh, we always do something so interesting. And today we have a real talk. Man, this is a segment about the post-COVID sales crisis, Bob, that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. The economy's been in flux. We're seeing brands tank. I mean, everything from Disney with Marvel and Star Wars are tanking. I mean, Star Wars is maybe unbearably broken now because of what they've done. And we're watching not only entertainment companies, but major big box stores and retail outlets and restaurants are closing. And a lot of this is due to inaccurate sales forecasts. Customers are losing trust in companies that seem more, you know, focused on pushing a social scandal or a social agenda than meeting their needs. On top of that, there's a growing resistance to AI-driven sales models, which seems to be the rage this year as people are craving real personalized interactions. And there's a lot of companies that are killing it because they're becoming more personalized. Yeah. But in the midst of these challenges, God's doing something where he's giving Christians wisdom on how to thrive in a season like this. There's a lot of companies that display that. And we're watching whole industries who are having Christians very present, like entertainment with movies and television. Mm-hmm. Also like retail, we're seeing Public Square and other groups rise up with conservative values in this time that are just thriving, that are doing incredible because of a season like this that we're in. Then we're going to be joined by an amazing guest, Brian Delaney, one of the top 1% of marketers and funnel experts in the entire world. And after a life-changing near-death experience, Brian dedicated his career to helping others share their stories and scale their businesses online, all while living a God-given purpose. And that's who Brian is. He just breathes the purpose of God in everything he talks about. And his team has generated over $500 million in online revenue, which is just a little bit. And he's going to be sharing how his faith paved a pivotal role in that success journey. So it's going to be a great episode, Bob.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it. So stick around. Who's our sponsor today, Sean?
Well, you know, Bob, you and I wrote a book, and here we are. I'm excited to share about this book that we co-wrote. It's called Wired to Hear. And if you ever have wondered at how to hear God's voice in your business or your career, this book is for you. Bob and I wrote this specifically as a love gift for you, as a love letter to you, because God speaks to us, all of us, not just in the church, but in the marketplace, whether you're an entrepreneur, a leader, or working in any type of field. And Wired to Hear, we share real life stories, practical insights, and biblical wisdom to help you learn how to partner your life with God in your daily work, making decisions that align with his heart and purpose for you. So if you want to unlock God's voice in your career or discover his plans for success for your life, you got to grab your copy today of Wired to Hear. You can get it anywhere books are sold. You can get it at Amazon, but get it at bowlesministries.com as well. And it helps to support the show being made. And it's time to start hearing from God in every area of your life.
Hey, Sean, if they get it from bowlesministries.com, isn't there a like an e-course that we can give them for free?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a free e-course that you and I did together. I'd love doing an e-course with you. And it felt so profound to be able to like share what was in the book, but more conversationally to our audience and then even to talk to each other in that those moments. And we had it professionally done. I remember at my home in Los Angeles. It was so much fun. So please get the book and you can get the e-course free today.
What's our real topic for today, Sean?
Well, I told you, you know, post-COVID, the sales landscape has taken a really big hit. And we're seeing widespread issues with inaccurate sales forecasting, which has been a big one, largely to the state of the economy. And it's caused some major brands to tank. On top of that, trust in companies is at an all-time low. I mean, seriously, it's an all-time low, especially this era where social agendas seem to have priority over customers' needs. We're watching Harley Davidson, Bud Light, Disney. We've had these social agendas come in like a plague, and people are pushing back against a surge in AI-driven sales tactics too. They're wanting real personalized experiences instead, and it feels like a lot of businesses are struggling with their message and their sales and even their products that they're offering. But here's the good part, Bob. I think this is really exciting because in the midst of this crisis, God is doing something, giving people strategy that's so unique, and he's giving them wisdom that's beyond technology, that technology can't bring this wisdom, insight, you know, into all kinds of relational strategies and guiding people how to finance their projects. And we're seeing this happen in the Christian entertainment industry. I mean, so many Christian films and television products are being formed, as well as Christian music. We're seeing this on online sales. There's so many different companies that have emerged. I mentioned earlier Public Square, but there's so many others that have emerged because they have conservative or Christian values, and people are craving that, and it's causing these companies to thrive. So in light of all these challenges, people can actually succeed right now for real.
It's amazing. I think one of the things I think about, I know we're going to talk to Brian later, and he's an SEO expert and he's a marketing expert. So, you know, we're going to hear his viewpoint. But to me, what hits me when I think about this is the loss of trust from some companies. And you named some, you know, some big companies that have been really in the spotlight about how they lost how they lost trust because of their social agenda issues. But what does that mean for us as small business owners and or as people who are working in a company who it's important for us to, if we take the next steps in our company, we need to gain trust. And so I think one of the things we should talk about in this topic is how are we trustworthy? And one of the ways that we're trustworthy is that our yes is yes and our no is no. Mm-hmm. We're really, as people of faith out there, we're doing what we say we're going to do and we're following through.
Yeah. You work in contracting, and somebody who's honest and just does what they're going to say they're going to do stands out like a sore thumb all over, at least America right now. And isn't that sad? Like, if you're just faithful and have integrity, you're rare and everyone wants to work with you.
Right. The bar is low. It's that low that if you, let's say you're an employee and all you need to do is you need to show up a little bit early, that you need to go there every single day. When you complete your tasks, you go to your supervisor and say, hey, I'm done. Do you need any help with anything else?
Yeah.
Or you go to the people that you're working with and say, hey, can I help you with any project? These type of attitudes when you're working in a company or working for someone separate you into the 1%. And then, yeah, like you were saying, if you're a business owner, if you're a service company, recognizing that your main job isn't producing widgets, it's actually serving the customer and your suppliers and the people that you work with and your employees, your job is to serve. And if you adopt that mentality, people will begin to trust you in a way that they never have before.
I love that. You know, the article that was both on Medium, and there's another kind of version someone wrote on Forbes about this. One of the things that they had talked about at one point was the personalization that people want. People want a real human being. Yeah, mm-hmm. This is the first year that maybe AI has taken off the way it has. So even when you're trying, like our Facebook account for Sean Bowles' public page is hacked, but Meta has released 10,000 employees. So there's not an actual employee to deal with there. They only have AI bots. You can't actually talk to somebody. And I have completely lost all respect already for Facebook, but now I don't want to deal with them at all. Like, I don't even want to account there, but I want to honor the community that's there. So we're still fighting for it. And so that's extreme, where it's like, now I don't only have a disconnect from a company, but I have a disdain for a company. And that's what's happening with a lot of the AI kind of communications that are coming out. They sound like a good idea. It's going to save you time. But what the world's craving is personalization, connection, contact, feeling like you care. And I feel like a lot of us are going to stand out like a sore thumb in the season because it's becoming so impersonal. And it's not just big companies, small companies and even small churches are doing this as well. They're hiring AI systems and customer service that has nothing to do with the mission or the focus of the church, just to kind of relieve some of the duties. And it's showing up in a lack of connection with the people they're trying to serve.
I think as a service company, as a church, your mission is people, and you're there to serve. And anything that you do that's counter to the mission of service, and I get, we're all learning about AI. We're all learning about technology. And, you know, I've had to hire younger people who are advising me about, you know, how we're implementing AI or even new technology that I don't understand into the business. But the goal is never to lose the personalization.
Yeah. Well, I showed you that TikTok where for your world, because you're a painter. And so you guys do all these commercial painting projects. I showed you the TikTok where the robot was painting. And it was like, will this take over painting? And I was just like, oh my gosh, Bob's job, if he doesn't get into robotics, he's done. And you laughed. You said, did you see all that overspraying, how bad that robot did? And I never even noticed. Like, I never noticed the whole thing. It was like destroyed, you know, around it. It looks so good. I'm sure one day they'll have it in a way that makes sense. But it's like, there's a fear almost in people, like when they see the new technologies, almost like we're going to become irrelevant. But humanity will always be needed in light of how God created everything. I think that's another part of it too. That's really important, is that sales are all about, like you said, serving humanity, serving other people. And so if we get our priorities right, then we'll do it right.
And I think we need to use, you know, every technology that is available to us, and we need to learn about it. I think, but look at this scripture. I mean, Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he'll establish your plans. And obviously, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
And those, you know, those scriptures, I think we just, as we're building businesses, building ministries, building churches, building organizations, we need to stand on the word of God and trust in him first, that he will direct our paths.
And we need not take for granted that we have those promises, because there's a lot of people out there. A lot of people are leading really successful companies that are failing right now, and they don't have those promises. They're not committing their path to God. And so they're doing the best they can with the wisdom they have. And we get to actually listen to God, and we get to know God and know that he has a plan for us that we couldn't produce or perform in our own strength. And that to me brings a lot of comfort in the midst of all the changes that are happening right now.
Yeah. Sean, that was a great Real Talk series. Let me read the question of the week.
Okay.
Ready? How does a business adapt to future technology? I remember when credit card readers came out, and it took us years before accepting anything but cash or checks. After we realized how many sales we were missing by not having a credit card reader, I don't want to get stuck, but how do we keep up?
It's so funny, because every once in a while, those old 80s movie, The Mark of the Beast, where people would scan their hand on a credit card machine at the store, and they didn't have to carry anything with them. I was like, well, I hope that's not what The Mark of the Beast is, because I want that. I want to be able to scan my hand. I'm like, I'm the person who doesn't want to hold anything or have anything. So like, I'm all for new technologies, as long as you don't have to sell yourself to a one world government and the Antichrist. I'm like, let's do it. Let's go there. But we've sort of put fear in people as far as all the new changes that are happening. And adaption and adoption rate are really high in this generation. So people are willing to adopt quickly. That means as a business owner or business leader, you have to adopt as quickly as you can, even the tap technology, which if you don't have tap technology right now, if you're a sales organization, for at least small sales, people are like, what? Like, this feels like old and ancient. And there's probably some mom and pop stores out there like, we just got our new credit card readers 5 years ago, and that's too old. You know, that's like so old. So it is hard to adapt, because it does cost money to adapt. But I do feel like you do leave a lot on the table when you don't move things forward. For us, when we were doing our events, we wanted to get, you know, 2,000 people through a line in less than 40 minutes. That was our goal. So no one's standing around. So as people are coming, they're getting through our line into our event. They're not having to, when I say 40 minutes, that doesn't mean they stand there for 40 minutes. I mean, that means people get average is 5 minutes, you know, to get through the line. And to do that, we had to get some new technology, and we had to invest into it. But it was so worth it. You came to some of our events. Mm-hmm. There was no one ever standing in a line. Like, it was, the lines went so fast. They would just, you know, clear through. And it was important to me, because one of the biggest complaints when you go to an event or a conference, especially that you paid for, is that you're just waiting forever for nothing. And it's just, it's exhausting and uncomfortable. So we wanted to have a good reputation to where when you come here, we're going to bring comfort. We're going to make it good for you to come here, and not, and we're going to think of you and hand you water bottles if you're waiting for one 15 minutes type thing. And I think when you think that way, people feel it. And so when you're adopting new technologies, or when you're going after the things that are new, I think taking small steps each season of time, whatever that is for you, whether it's quarterly, semesterly, or yearly, take a step forward when it comes to technology. You know, take a step forward when it comes to, maybe it's your social media, maybe it's your website again, rehashing it. Maybe it's some of the, if you're a sales organization, some of the technologies of how you accept payments, maybe if whatever it is, but everybody should be taking a step forward in a season, however they define seasons, every season.
That's so good. I love the small steps. Incremental changes lead to, you know, greatness. And for me, when I see this question, future technology, how do we adapt to future technology? Is hire younger people.
I love that.
Younger people around you who understand, because I you know, people who are my age, I just have a finite understanding of technology, and it continues to grow. And so if you get people around you that you trust in your company or in your ministry who understand technology, take small steps that way also.
There's these Generation Z commercials on TikTok and Instagram where They said, I hired a Generation Z person to make this real estate commercial, and it shows a real estate agent walking through, and right before he's going to talk, he's like, or breathing, or like burping, or like, you know, coughing with his hand, and that's all they show. They don't actually do anything as far as the house itself or about, and then it's done, and they're like, yeah, hire a Generation Z person, but then that will have a million views to it, like just because they did some dumb, funny, you know, technological thing. It costs them nothing. So many people have copied that model where it's like, oh, I'm going to do that same commercial for my industry. And I think that the goal is like, if you don't bring young people into it, you're not going to reach the next generation of who's buying and who's connecting and who's you're serving. If you guys have a question, make sure to ask it. You go to bullsministries.com and ask it there. Go to one of our YouTube clips, ask it there, or email us at info@bullsministries.com and you can ask a question there. We'd love to hear your questions, which can be featured on a future episode of Exploring the Marketplace. We get to welcome Brian Delaney, and he is a leading expert in the marketing funnel creation. Brian is widely recognized as one of the top 1% marketers of funnel experts in the world, and that praise comes from none other than Tony Robbins and Russell Brunson, co-founders of ClickFunnels, so that's not small praise right there. And his methods are not only timeless, but they're proven to work for anyone who partners with to help scale their business and build lasting legacies. But Brian's journey is really extraordinary because he had a near-death experience where he died and came back to life. Brian has been on a mission to fulfill his God-given purpose that God revealed to him he needed to go after during this near-death experience. He's helping others share their stories and launch and scale their expertise online and leave a meaningful legacy. And his marketing and advertising team, they generate over $500 million a year. I mean, this is crazy. And it's all because of his relationship with God. So up next, Brian Delaney.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers for Exploring the Marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy Online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos. And this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry. But we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry. But we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family. And we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bulls team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Well, welcome back. We're here with Brian Delaney. Brian, so happy to have you. How are you?
Doing great, man. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Well, Brian, we got to meet through a mutual friend, and I love what you're doing. I love your background. But it all started, really, from what I understand, with a change of trajectory of your whole life through a near-death experience. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so back in 2003, I was at Slippery Rock University, and I was ultimately headed down the wrong path without knowing it. And second year in college, pledging a fraternity, I was either going to go into student government or fraternity, and fraternity sounded like more fun. And I woke up one morning. It was a cold, white hospital room, three doctors literally rushing to my bedside. And to me, they were singing. They were like, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And I was just, you know, startled by that, of course. Had no clue where I was, because I just came out of a coma that I was in for 8 hours. And the doctor, you know, leaned in and he said, you know, son, you're a living miracle. In my 30 years of being a doctor, I've never seen anyone with your severe of a condition live, let alone even be able to comprehend what I'm saying. Your blood alcohol level when you came in here last night was 0.39 and 0.40 was dead. So you're literally one shot from death. And he called my parents the night before. Literally the call if you can imagine this as a parent, the call was, your son's going to either die or be brain dead for life. So my parents being, you know, Christian and of faith, they immediately prayed. God gave it, actually gave them peace. They then proceeded to drive across the state about 6 hours. And a little after they got there, I woke up out of that coma.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta tell us what was the change? How did that become a catalyst for you?
For me, you know, I was a new, you know, I was in college second year. I was, had no clue what I wanted to do. Sure. Right. I was an entrepreneur at heart because that's built within me. My grandfather was an inventor. My dad was an entrepreneur. So I always had that entrepreneurial drive, but I really was like just taking classes because that's what you do. Right. Like you're just told to go to school and get a degree and go figure it out eventually. Right. And so I found myself in a place where I was just hanging around the wrong people. Right. Like I realized, so after I woke up, I realized that first of all, the doctor said, you're a living miracle. The doctor said, God must have a plan and purpose for your life.
Wow.
How many doctors say that? That's kind of weird, right? Like that's not normal. And then I was driving back from the hospital with my dad and we were driving back and there was this little tiny hole in the wall church on the side of the road. I'm sure you've seen them out in the sticks. It looks like a shed that's like broken down.
Totally.
And the sign
I live in Texas. There's a lot of those.
Yeah. And the sign said, God has a plan and purpose for your life. And my dad's like, hey, I think that's another sign for you. Wow. Like you just heard that a couple hours ago. Like this, you need to pay attention. And so that was really, you know, the signs were there. And so I was like, immediately, I was like, okay, I need to start hanging around different people with different values because this one's leading to death. So immediately I transferred from business education, basically, into pastoral studies.
Wow.
And I didn't necessarily want to be a pastor, but I wanted to immerse myself in the word to find out like, okay, why did God spare my life? And what is that purpose? Like, obviously I'm here, so I've got to figure that out, right? And it took me 2 years, actually. It took 2 years of fervent prayer and being deep immersed in the word. I eventually ended up at Liberty University. I went to first Clearwater Christian College, which was a super fundamental strict rules-based school. They had like, I had to sign a piece of paper with like 50 rules that like I would have to agree to even come into the school. It's crazy. Anyways, ended up transferring to Liberty University under the leadership of Jerry Falwell Sr., who was awesome. Yeah. And it was there during Spiritual Emphasis Week that I was really pressing in. Like at this point, 2 years later, 2005, I still wasn't clear. Like I was still like a rudder, you know, that was just all over the place. And I remember, you know, there's a pastor that came to preach and speak, David Nasser. And David Nasser wrote a book called A Call to Die. And through that experience, and through prayer and worship and through, you know, really just pressing in. I mean, I can't express how intentional I was about pressing into why was my life spared. And it was during Spiritual Emphasis Week of all weeks where they bring in all these leaders and pastors and they just pour into the student body, which was incredible. And God kind of shook me and woke, kind of like rattled me a bit. And he said, you know, you need to man up. You need to forgive your dad completely. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like taken back by it. Like, what do you mean I got to forgive him? Like, he's caused all this pain in my life. Like, why should I forgive? Like, he needs to forgive me. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, no, man up, you know, ask him for forgiveness and then forgive him completely when he does ask for forgiveness. And I did that. I just went through the process of what God was guiding me to do. And I call them promptings or downloads, right? It's like, it's prompting me to really ultimately ask for forgiveness from him first and get my relationship with God right. That was step one. Step two was, okay, now my earthly father, who I had a lot of bitterness, contention, a lot of anger in the way in which he showed, like he was a great dad, but there was things that the way he showed up in my life was just out of integrity. And I remember it was really hard. It was really hard to go to someone that's hurt you and ask them for forgiveness for the way that you showed up. Like, I just remember it being very difficult to do that. And, but I trusted. I said, you know, maybe this will unlock why God spared my life. And so I did. And my dad immediately broke down in tears and asked for forgiveness. And of course I followed God's directive, which was to forgive him completely and receive his forgiveness openly. And our relationship immediately like got lifted. And I would say that unforgiveness is like being chained in a room without even knowing it.
Wow.
That's, and like, I remember immediately after I went through that process of forgiveness with my Heavenly Father and forgiveness with my earthly father, that the veil basically broke and I began to receive visions and downloads and like just everything was much more clear. I would say prior to that, I wasn't able to hear God speak. After that, I'm able to hear God now. And I would say that was the catalyst to that change.
I want to say this. I know Bob has a question for you, but I think it's so cool to hear the fact that, you know, just around our audience, like you've built sales funnels and you've worked with Tony Robbins, you've worked in all this marketing world. And yet to hear this as part of your story, like the average person wouldn't know this or wouldn't have connected this. And it's probably so encouraging for some people who are like, man, I'm stuck. And then they hear you just, they can see you and your success now, but they hear like some of those sticking things, some of those sticking moments where like unforgiveness. I just wanted to point it out again to our audience, but Bob, go ahead. I'm going to give it back over to you because this is so good.
Yeah, Brian, I was going to say as a young man, you were 23 and somehow you made really, really adult wise decisions. The first thing you said was the quality of your friends. Mm-hmm. And then you turned to God and said, you're like, well, why am I alive? And then you forgave your dad. I mean, those are three huge decisions for a young man to make. And I'm sure you look back at that now and say, well, that's just part of my story. But one of the things I wanted to point out is for anyone listening or watching right now, these are the three fundamental things in order to turn your life around. And what I love what you said at the end is that then you were able to hear God. Yeah. And so that's the power of forgiveness that I think we have to look at. My question is after that, and we could do a whole episode on just talking about that, but we want to move into the next phase of your life when now here you're on the top of your field with ClickFunnels and you're running a company. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I did a talk in front of the highest level mastermind with Russell Brunson. And I broke down like the secret to my success. And I would say that it's surrounding yourself with the right people, being in the room with people that are playing at a bigger level. But I would say there's nothing that trumps hearing God and being directed and guided on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
Nothing. Like no amount of man's wisdom is ever going to trump God's wisdom.
Right.
I would 1000% contribute my success, which I've had a lot of them over the years, to God's guidance, direction, and wisdom. Wow. And even before, you know, I ever step on stage or in front of camera, like I'm always very mindful of like, God, give me the words to speak because your words are better than mine. Right.
Right.
So from there, you know, I stumbled upon affiliate marketing, which ultimately is just selling other people's stuff, driving traffic, getting people to buy and then making commission. Now, remember, I'm in college. So I went from my bachelor's degree in marketing, ended up in marketing, getting a marketing degree. Because it was universal. I was like, okay, I can apply this to anything. I went into my master's degree, quite frankly, because I didn't want to get a job. Like I was like, okay, if no one's going to pay me $1 million a year, like this doesn't make any sense. They're not even going to pay me $250,000 a year coming out of college. So I've got to figure out a different path. And for me, that was affiliate marketing that I discovered after going down the rabbit hole of personal development. And it wasn't until right around that same time, 2005, that I stumbled into personal development, which I was like, hold on a second. Like I'm in my mid 20s and I've never heard of personal development. Like the stuff we should be teaching in elementary school.
Oh, and it should be part of every college. It should be like required.
Required reading, right? Like Napoleon Hill and Og Mandino and all of these greats, right? There's so many. Tony Robbins. And so I stumbled into affiliate marketing, got really good at selling other people's stuff, driving traffic, selling other people's stuff. And I did a lot of different things, some software to physical products, to info products. Ultimately, what happened was I got really good at it. I approached a company, like I never intended to be in the service-based business, which I am in now. What happened was I went to a company that I really loved. It was a water ionizer, and there were $2,000 machines. And I fell in love with this machine. Like I just love the water. And so I approached this company. I'm like, hey guys, can I sell this and send you buyers and you send me checks? And they're like, you can buy them for $1,000, sell them for $2,000. Like, no. I'm going to send you buyers and you're going to send me checks. Like, let's keep it simple. I'm not in the game of bulking up inventory. Totally. You know? And so I rattled the CEO, ended up calling me. He's like, dude, like, that sounds amazing, but we don't have that system in place. Can you help us dominate our traffic on the search engines? Can you help us rank on Google, on YouTube, on Yahoo, on Bing, like all the search engines, right? And so that was my first ever client. I wasn't intending to have a client. I kind of just stumbled into it. And that's how I got into the world of service. And then I realized, like, oh, there is a lot of businesses that do need this as well. Because at that time, I was really good at SEO. SEO is search engine optimization, right? Ranking on first page of Google. I got really good at that because I was in college, didn't have any money. So I had to figure out how to get free traffic. So that's why I was there. Then I stumbled into paid traffic. One of the biggest catalysts for me, though, was I was joining my first ever dollar online was from a paid challenge. It was a $1 30-day challenge about how to make your first dollar online. And that literally that one challenge was based on watch a video, implement some things, watch a video, implement some things. And then within 7 days, I made a sale and it was a $750 commission. And so that's what really opened my eyes to, like, wow, like this whole internet thing, making money online is possible. Now it's like, okay, how can I make that happen every day, right? So a challenge got me in, but the big catalyst, and for those of you that are not where you want to be, for me it was, I was buying all these courses and I was watching all this content on how to learn the tactics and the strategies, but I realized, you know what? I didn't get my second degree black belt in Taekwondo by watching YouTube videos, right? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine trying to get a second degree or first degree black belt, you know, for that matter, by watching YouTube videos, right? Like, no, I went to the dojo 3 times a week. It was hard. There was days I didn't want to go. And I went for 7 years straight and I got my second degree black belt after failing several times. And so I realized real quickly that I got to find someone who's got the results I want. And I just got to figure out a way to pay them. And so on my journey, I found this guy, didn't even have a mentorship program or coaching program. He was simply an affiliate. He had some service clients. And I'm like, dude, like, you making over, like, he's making multiple 100K months every month. He would like show his screenshots of like his earnings. I'm like, dude, you've got the results I want. I just, let me pay you. He's like, well, I don't have that. I'm like, dude, I'll give you whatever you want. Like, just let me take an hour or two of your time. You tell me what to do and I'm going to go do it. I'm an action guy. And that was the best thing I could have done. I'm glad I had that realization earlier on the journey.
Sounds like there's a lot of coaching out there that's not like really mentoring. It's all theory. And that sounds more like you actually got mentored. You actually got put into something where it's like the old fashioned apprenticeship in a way where it's, but you pursued it. And I think that's so cool that because you know the difference between the stuff that's out there. It's not fake in any way, but it's just not as practical or as applicable if you're not in the dojo, so to speak. So I love that you had that experience. Like, where did that lead you?
So that then led me into, I mean, I've done everything from building iPhone apps when they first came out in 2008 to local marketing, did a lot of local marketing, and then eventually evolved into expert brand and expert marketing. So what happened was when God shared with me the purpose, right? So he unlocked vision. All he told me in 2005 was share your story, help others share theirs. I had no clue what that meant. I was like, okay, does that mean I'm supposed to go around and like tell my testimony?
Yeah.
I really didn't realize until 2016. So literally over a decade later, I realized that because God had sent me someone who was a pastor, ex-strip club owner, converted pastor. Wow. His wife was the main stripper, converted pastor. Oh, gosh. Crazy story that he has. But he came in because he was looking to eradicate waterborne illness in the country of Liberia. And he was tired of begging churches to raise money. So he's like, dude, like, I just need some funnels and I need to sell my coaching, consulting, and education so I can raise the money myself. He's like, I'm tired of begging for money. And so that's when the light bulb went off. What share your story and help other people share theirs meant. Mm-hmm. Oh, by helping people like this guy share his expertise, share his story. Not only is he making a massive ripple effect in the world, but it's allowing him to fund his vision that God's given him. And I'll tell you, when it was like a tug of war. So like prior to that moment, I was like, why am I doing all this funnels and marketing and advertising? Like, why am I doing all this stuff? And it was quite frankly stressful because in one respect, I thought that, okay, God spared my life for a higher calling. How is this connected to funnels? Like, yeah, it didn't make any sense up until 2016. When I had that revelation of, by helping experts, by helping people share their story and share that story with the world in a bigger way, basically the tug of war ended and I settled in on, okay, I serve experts who want, or people who have a life-changing story that want to make a difference, right?
Yeah.
I help these people to get their message out and to impact more people's lives. And that's how we create the ripple effect. My business literally took off like a rocket. Like, it went from like this growth to like it just took off. Well, because I stopped serving everyone. I started serving a very narrow, specific group of people. And so that was another key.
Yeah. You know, Brian, I think it's really interesting because you were struggling with, how do I serve God? And, you know, I think somewhere in your mind, do I become a pastor, a missionary, that kind of thing? But you're wired to be an entrepreneur. And Sean and I talk about this sort of sacred versus secular. And so many of us, 99% of us, work out in the marketplace. And the light bulb finally went on. And now you're serving the marketplace, which is actually launching other people into what their mission for God is. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Tell us what you're doing now.
So now, at this stage of the journey, you know, we help experts to launch their expertise online, whether that's courses or masterminds, or, you know, there's a variety of offers that we serve people with, but ultimately it's about bringing people who have knowledge, skills, and expertise come online and then scale. You know, I think Tony Robbins would be like the epitome of scale. You know, when he does a launch, they do $40 to $50 million in 2 weeks, right?
That's all.
Yeah, that's all. So we have an agency that helps people. You know, we have 30 people in the agency that do everything from branding to copywriting to funnel development to all the tech, like all the things you need to launch an online business, right? I just happen to serve the specific group of people that are that want to be the thought leaders of their brand, right? So if a company comes to me and they're like, we're e-commerce, I'm like, okay, well, in order for us to work together, you need to have some level of thought leadership in the marketplace. The best example of that is Dave Asprey. So if you look at Dave Asprey, he's got Bulletproof Coffee, right? And that's like a $100 million brand. But then he's got like his education, his training, his certification, his books, his podcasts, right? And that's the education part of the brand. So I've been predicting this for a while, that like e-commerce brands that don't have that component are just, they're leaving a ton of money on the table, and in the future will probably be extinct by companies that will adopt it. Because what happens is the lifetime value of that customer skyrockets through the roof. And in our world, where we're paying to acquire, which in my opinion, if you can't pay to acquire, you don't have a business. So if you're paying to acquire, your lifetime value, which is how much money you make per person over time, over the average, if your lifetime value is low, it's gonna be a struggle. It's gonna be tough, right? And in an e-commerce fashion, the only way you make a lot of money is when you sell the company, okay? And you see that happen with e-commerce brands, or you have to raise funds to then grow your business, right? It's typically the path. But when you have that education component, the thought leadership component, it just allows you to make a lot more money and impact more people, because more money equals more gas on the fire for advertising and acquisition.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I think of how many people in the world right now, even including myself, are looking to advance, looking to grow, looking to become something more with God and become something more to impact the world around them. And it's just, I love that you're saying that, because I was reading in Forbes and how there's a downward sales trend, like sales is suffering, like the whole sales industries are suffering. And they were talking about, like, you know, people tried to bring their social agendas and causes to it, and that wasn't working. But people who would be in it for others, not just for their own agenda, but for others. And they talked about these, you know, branching off and creating foundations, creating education, creating master classes. They were saying exactly what you're saying, that those are the companies that are going to be sustained in the future, not just the big box brands. I was like, that's so interesting. So I just read that, and then you're saying it. I think it's just so clear. It's like, well, such an interesting thought.
Yeah. So the self-education industry as a whole is growing to $1 trillion a year by 2028.
Wow.
Okay. So it was in 2019, it was $400 million a day. Okay. And that's people that are looking for information. And so I'm going to break that down really fast. Why is that happening? It's because the education system, okay, if going to school and getting a job and retiring when you're 65 or 70, whenever they change the rules, right? If that was working, then everyone would be doing it, right? There's a massive shift right now in people that are looking, because think about it, right? If you can just go find the person, kind of like I did with my mentor,
yeah,
find the person who has the results, pay them. It's going to be a lot less expensive. Pay them to get the knowledge and go implement it, right?
You mean the $150,000 of school loans isn't good?
Yeah, exactly.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
I think the world is waking up in many fronts, but they're waking up to that reality that, you know, the old system is broken. Unless you're like a surgeon or there is obviously
sure, there's some career paths. Yeah,
there is specific career paths, but for the majority of people, they go to general education and then they go get a general degree from people that never done the work in the field, and then expect to come out with a six-figure job or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and that reality is just like far from reality. It's far from reality.
Well, Brian, that's a perfect transition. Is how does our listeners and viewers get a hold of you and some of this incredible offers that you have?
Yeah. So I'm Brian Delaney, Brian with a Y. You got to have a Y. And then Delaney, D-U-L-A-N-E-Y. So BrianDelaney.com. I'm across all social. I will say that I basically condensed. I have this new book that just came out called How to Build, Launch, and Scale One Funnel, One Offer that Generates $1 million in just 1 month. And we're giving it away for free. We just ask that you cover the tiny shipping and handling fees to get it to you. But we're giving away this thing. It shares and breaks down. We basically took our $1,000 course and put it into the framework of this book. And we're just giving it away because I'm at a stage now where, you know, I can only work with so many people at the end of the day in my agency. And the ultimate way to impact more people is through information, through books, through courses, yeah, things like this, right? And this is one way that we can do that.
Well, this has been an awesome interview. Thanks for being with us, Brian. And I want to encourage all of you out there, get the book. It's free. And this is something, especially if you're launching a business or starting a business, this can apply all the way across so many different industries. And just getting the basic know-how, the basic skills can bring you from a place that you can get yourself with the best hustle you have to actually get some expertise to actually grow into a level that maybe 2x's you, maybe 10x's you, but that's what we want, right? We want to see the most glory we can give God in our lifetime. And we only do that by the work that we produce, by partnering with Him in faith. And this is one of the ways you can partner with Brian Delaney and his team. Well, Brian, thanks again for being on today. And we just, man, we're so blessed by your story.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that's the end of another Exploring the Marketplace podcast, where we bring everyday people who are seeing their faith affect their career in powerful ways. Make sure to hit like on this video, hit the subscribe button and notifications so you don't miss an episode. Also, I want to hear from you. So let's talk in the comment section. See you next time.